You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is the 1st of October, 2024. I'm Trey. That's Mark. How you doing, Mark? Are we all going to fucking die? How's it going?
Eventually, yeah. Today we were talking about the hurricane and one of the apocalypses that we're living through in climate change. And I guess you want to start off talking about the other one, the Middle East. Sure, the Middle East has now been canceled. We're going to reboot it next year with a new showrunner and new host. Fuck, dude. We bumblefuck our way into another war in the Middle East, another land war in Central Asia. I swear to God, I'm just going to go live in the woods and dig a hole. I don't fucking understand anything that's happening right now. Main thing is, I think we need a rule that if we're going to go to war, 20% of Congress should be assigned by lots to serve on the front lines.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like a useful deterrent.
Yeah.
They shouldn't skin the game.
Yeah. Or at least, you know, their sons or something. I know it's not fair to the sons, but it would still make them, you know, think a little more about it. Yeah, I don't know. That kind of reminds me of this. I read last week that there was this Harvard professor in the 80s who proposed during the Cold War that for the nuclear codes, that what they should do is they should embed them in the chest of a Secret Service agent who the president had to kill with his bare hands to remove the codes to launch the nukes because, you know, mm-hmm. that would make him come face to face with taking a human life in that context. Mm-hmm. And the guy said when he like proposed it at the Pentagon or whatever, they were like, that's horrible. Then he might never launch if we did something like that. You know?
Yeah, you get it. Yeah. I think you get it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the important thing is we keep a heavy military presence in the Middle East so we can have cheap oil and gas so we can gin up more climate change so we drown more of our own people. That's really what we got to keep doing. That's the system work isn't intended.
Yeah, it's going to be an upbeat show tonight, everybody. A lot of shenanigans, a lot of goofing tonight, a lighthearted discussion. Now, listen, I mean, if you've been watching the news lately, you know what this show is. You shouldn't be surprised. However, on that note, I will say, and I'll probably say this again a little bit later, just so y'all know, just like we did with the first debate a few weeks ago, we will be ending a few minutes early tonight to give y'all time to switch over. I know you can't miss this show, but you can't miss that either. So I just want to make it easy for everybody to get over to the big debate with Tim Walz and Jim David Vance. See how that goes.
Yeah, is that his real name now? He's Donald, right? James Donald?
I don't know. I know he changed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, changed his name 5 times? Nothing. Yeah, whatever. We've had a lot of dessert shows lately with Nazi porn sex scandals. But yeah, today's some broccoli. But before we get the broccoli, let's have dessert first, all right? We got a fun, dumb scandal. Well, it's not even really a scandal. It's just stupid. So the New York Times wrote this piece a couple days ago about how a lot of Republicans are using their wives, in the forefront of their campaign and try to soften their image with women because, you know, they otherwise hate women who aren't their wives. And the process of reporting it, they found one guy, a candidate in Virginia by the name of Derek Anderson for Congress, a former Green Beret, who's running in a competitive race for an open seat in Virginia's 7th District. He posted footage of him posing with a woman and her three daughters in what looks like a photo that might be used for an annual holiday card. I'm reading here from them. In another scene filmed for participant use in a campaign ad, Mr. Anderson is seated around the dining room table with the same woman and her three girls, chatting and smiling. Here's the image. Here's Look the thing. At
that. Nice mid-American family, just a working family doing the best they can. A man, his wife, his three daughters, you know. Who can't support that? You know what I mean?
Here's the plot twist. He's not related to them at all. They're the wife and children of a longtime friend, which is like so funny. Like, hey, man, can I borrow your daughters real quick? It's the funniest fucking conversation.
It's also, I read that when asked for comments, his campaign people or whatever were like, no, that's just all that's meant to show is him with some female supporters of his. That's all it is. One of his 5-year-old potential voters who really likes his policy decisions and stuff that he's posing with there. But yeah, this is just, I don't know. It's always been like conventional wisdom over there that like, you know, you got to have a nice wife, nice family, nice photo op, that type of thing. That's what it takes to get elected. But I still feel like in 2024, in the era of social media and everything, you should still stop short of just borrowing your buddy's whole family and thinking that no one is going to find out about that. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. It's just so funny to me. It's like their version of like, you wouldn't hit a guy with glasses, would you? It's like, obviously I can't be misogynistic as a father of daughters, right? So right. But instead of as a father of daughters, he's like, as a father of three hypothetical daughters.
Right.
The obvious deny, like they have a plausible deniability here because like nowhere do they say it's his wife and daughters.
Right.
But they didn't just take these pictures. They created B-roll for packs to use in ads where they're obviously presented like they're sitting around at the dinner table playing cards and shit like their family. Like we all know what the aesthetic language is supposed to communicate here, these wife and kids. I know it's not technically a lie, but it's fucking bullshit, right? But it's like the thing that infuriates me is like back in my day, politicians had secret second families, not imaginary first ones, right?
Absolutely. What is this country coming to?
Yeah. Whatever happened to the secret second family? You think Facebook destroyed them? You can't really have a secret second family?
I don't know. I still hear tale of them every now and then. We've got some mutual friends we can talk about offline, and I've heard about people in their circle. That not friends of ours having secret second families, just people in their family who have secret second families and that type of thing. I'm pretty sure my grandpa had a secret second family, I think. I don't know how secret it was. Maybe he just didn't give a shit about them. It's hard to say. You know, he was a long-haul truck driver. But
I'm not talking about having like a side, like an affair and you get a woman
pregnant. No, I know. But you've got...
Where two wives and neither one of them know about the other one?
Right. And like, there's kids with both and they're both like thinking that they are the nuclear family and there's two of them. Yeah, that's that old school American man shit right there, you know, which I never understood. Bro, I've got the one and it's a lot. I love them. They're great. But, you know, it's like a lot of... Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of attention, a lot of effort. You know, I can't imagine just voluntarily starting a whole different one and then going through all the stress of trying to hide them from each other. I mean, really, in that way, this guy's way more sane. He's like, I'll just have neither and make up one. You know, that's way easier. I just pretend to have the one and then not even have to deal with any of them, you know.
The part that got me, because this guy, Anderson, is a Republican, by the way, obviously. He is unmarried. But he said, Mr. Anderson, who announced this month that he was engaged, does not have any children of his own. His campaign website says he lives with his dog and does not display any of the photos. Like, so they're basically saying, why don't I hang these photos in my house? Well, of course, that'd be fucking insane. Right. But like, what does your fiance think about this? You got to be like, sorry, my love. I had to pose with a woman who I can prove is fertile. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird. Everything about it's weird. But, you know, that's what they do. They be weird. That's kind of their whole brand nowadays. But anyway, we'll keep going here. I'm Trey. That's Mark. Producer Laura is with us, and this is Weekly Skews. Before we continue, I want to remind y'all, as usual, of a couple of things. If you'd like to see me do stand-up comedy live and in person, and you should want to do that, go to treycrowder.com, check out my upcoming tour dates. I will be in Missouri this weekend, Springfield on Saturday, Columbia on Sunday. A very quick note about those. If you For a little while, I had Friday in Springfield listed on my website too. It's been fixed for a long time, but there was a mix up at the club. If you have tickets, if you think you have tickets to see me on Friday in Springfield, you will instead see Kyle Kinane. So congratulations to you. That'll probably be a much better show anyway.
Kyle rules. Right. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He's great. So you still, even if you have that, you still should go because he's incredibly hilarious. But I will be there Saturday and then Columbia on Sunday. And then we got a whole bunch of other dates coming up. Go to TreyCrowder.com. Come out there and see me. It's been a fun time recently. We're going to keep that going. Also, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more, or you can just go on Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. $5 a month gets you access to full-length bonus episodes. We did the first part of a two-part Q&A last week where we answer your burning questions. We otherwise cover things that come up in the interim between shows or just extra stuff we want to talk about. If you like this show, you'll like that show because it's just this show, but more of it. So get some more SKUs in your life. Sign up on Patreon. All right. As for the show tonight, as Mark said, you know, he called it the broccoli. It's going to be tough. A lot of bad things happening out there. We're going to focus on the horrific natural disaster that was Hurricane Helene, which tore through the American South, and in particular Western North Carolina, but also parts of Georgia and Florida this weekend, and the fallout and responses to it thus far from our leadership and our American politicians. You won't believe this, but it leaves something to be desired. But before we get to all that, we begin with the Daily Dumbass. Laura, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, people who don't realize that the real crisis with teen boys is the need for thicker jizz. All right, here we go. Yeah, RFK Jr.
Teens today have 50% of the sperm count, 50% of the testosterone as teens, American teens two generations ago.
Teens today. Right. So as a former teenage boy, I feel like you could probably stand to cut another 20-30% out of that. Out of that number, yeah. And probably still be okay. Teen boys have been, if anything, working with a surplus of of sperm that they don't need all that. You could argue they don't really need hardly any of that, if any at all. So I'm kind of fine with this. I mean, I do get that, like, whatever. It's a problem as you go off into adulthood. But focusing on the sperm count of teen boys is like, I don't think we really need to worry too much about all that personally.
So the thing about, the real problem is Joe Biden depleted our strategic jizz reserve. So years back, I was working on a script for about conspiracy theorists, and I was reading InfoWars every day, as you do, to try to figure out what the fuck they were going on about. And the thing about that is 90% of the stuff they talk about has pretty large grounding in reality. It's where they take it from there, right?
Right, a kernel of truth, yeah.
So I was trying to figure out what the fuck he's talking about. I know that there is like a panic about the sperm count, especially in the Northern Hemisphere with the declining birth rates and whatnot. And I was like, where did he get – the National Institutes of Health does say that American male sperm count has been declining for a while, but basically they think it correlates with obesity and also wearing tidy whities and sitting with their phones in their pockets and shit.
Right. It's not just us betafying ourselves. It's not just us becoming soy boys that makes our sperm not work as much. Cause that's what I heard. That's what the internet told me. It was liberals in the gay agenda turning us all into effeminate half men. That's what was happening inside of our ball sack. So that's not true. It's just health and the bullshit we eat and all the other bad things.
Another stuff we're doing to ourselves. So like eat a salad, go for a jog, and your sperm count will go back up. But we haven't really got into it. I know we talked about doing an episode about like the crunchy MAGA alliance and how like they're doing that. Like RFK and his old running mate, Nicole Shanahan, are running the country talking about make America healthy again. How Donald Trump is going to put America back on the track to being super healthy, which is really funny that Donald Trump, you know, the Hamburglar in Chief is going to make us all able to run 6 minute miles again.
Right. Well, it's not just that he loves McDonald's and shitty food and all that. He also famously doesn't believe in exercise because he believes that your energy in your body is like batteries and you deplete it when you use it. So exercising like runs your batteries down and it makes you die earlier, which is like So I literally heard never, I've never heard anyone else even espouse that belief, but it's something he holds close and dear to his heart. So yeah, the idea that he's going to be our, you know, or Arnold Schwarzenegger or something, the guy that inspires us to do it better ourselves.
You gotta really twist your brain to think the trend to ban gas stoves, panic guy is going to, like, Nicole Shanahan went on Fox News and talked about how, I forget the name of the chemicals they put on nonstick pans, the plastics that are in everything that people think are poisonous and cancer causing, that, like, Donald Trump is going to ban those. So kids don't have them in their bodies anymore. And I'm like, he's not going to ban. He's going to do
anything. That would be regulations or whatever, yeah. Right? Like, they don't do that. Yeah.
We were all alive when the right wing panicked because New York tried to ban 64-ounce sodas and Michelle Obama politely suggested kids eat vegetables. Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't know where the fuck they get this stuff. But I wanted to use RFK as a launching point to talk about some pretty funny election fuckery going on around the country. So since RFK, quote unquote, dropped out of the presidential race and endorsed Trump, he's had a bunch of MAGA financed lawyers running around the country doing opposite stuff in different states, depending on whether he thinks it helps or hurts Trump. Like, he's trying to get back on the ballot in New York because he thinks that'll help Trump, while trying to get off the ballot in Wisconsin. All right. So This is if any of the judges read the newspaper, they got to be fucking pissed, right? Because they're gonna be aware, right, of this other shit going on in other jurisdictions. So he was disqualified in New York because he doesn't live in New York. So that's fucking not going anywhere. In Wisconsin is kind of even stupider and funnier. He last month, the Wisconsin Election Commission told Kennedy he could not remove his name from the ballot because the law says the qualified nominees must appear on the ballot unless they die. So he does have a way out here. He just doesn't like it.
All right. I don't understand. I thought, like, if you're, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's just the letter of the law in each state. But to me, it's like, how do you try to make a cogent legal argument in two different states at the same time that in one state, by all rights, I should be off the ballot. In another state, I must be left on the ballot, and try to do that without, you know, contradicting yourself. But I guess that's just not how things work. Yeah. You can just make any argument you want to make at any time. And
all can win, right? You can argue two different things in different places and win both of them. That's lawyer brain, baby.
Right.
So what Kennedy's done is petition the Washington Supreme Court to remove him from the ballot, right? But actually not removing him. What he's asking them to do is to put a sticker over his name on the ballot. Okay. this will require 1,800 different jurisdictions. People to sit around, like the nice ladies who work in elections offices, to sit around physically placing stickers on all the different ballots. And if they messed up, they put it in the wrong place, or it was a little too thick, it clogged the ballot counting machine. So his hot new election stealing idea is just having people put bubble gum in machine holes. All right?
right. Like, I guess, yeah, I mean, I guess, like, gumming up the works like that, that still plays. You know what I mean? Right. Like, that still accomplishes what you want it to. Anytime you, like, reduce the number of votes, it tends to help.
Just like make all these people who just they work in these 1,800 different offices just make their lives fucking harder. They got sit there for days on end putting stickers on shit for no reason.
Like, yeah. Also, who pays for that? Those people all volunteers, or how does that work? Do you know what I mean? Like, who? Like, I mean,
the man hours, I'm assuming, would fall to just like the counties, so they'd bankrupt a lot of these counties, or cause them budgetary problems. By the count of a podcast I listened to earlier today, there's over 100 lawsuits right now around the country dealing with election litigation. Like, basically 90 are Republican and 20 are Democrat. And we talked about the trying to change the rules in Georgia where, like, local election officials could just not certify an election, right? Mm-hmm. There was a hearing in Georgia today. Bad news for the crazies. The judge seems kind of sane because the law is written. It says county officials or election officials shall certify the election, meaning once the votes are counted – by November, whatever, they have to do it.
Right.
They don't have any will in the matter, right? What they want to do is say they have a right to not certify if they have concerns. Now, he seems super skeptical. The funny thing about this case is both Republicans and Democrats agree that shall rules the day. But the Republicans are saying is like that because this hasn't happened, even though it has happened, it happened in a primary election in May where a woman refused to certify the results of an election, even though Donald Trump won it. because she was suspicious of like various precincts or whatever. The Republicans are arguing that it's purely dumb to make a rule based upon a hypothetical, even though the ruling would be, what does the law already say? All right. But the judge offered a split in the baby sort of compromise, where it's like, okay, they have to certify the election. But what if they had some concerns about some discrepancies in some precinct? We basically had a complaint box so they could formalize their complaints. So I was like, this is brilliant. All they want to do is fucking complain. Give them a complaint box.
Yeah, I don't understand the whole, I mean, like, the idea that just a kind of administrative position like this at a relatively low level, you know, from a macro perspective in the American general election would have some kind of agency or power to be like, no, this ain't it, is, you know, it's just weird to me. It's like, I mean, I guess, is it so that if something nefarious really did happen, they could alert people to that and do something? Is that why they even have any kind of authority at all in place? You know what I mean?
Because they don't have any. They're trying to sue to have it for themselves.
They're trying, right? Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Right. Well, they shouldn't. So
right.
Good.
It's never been up to, the country's been around for hundreds of years.
Right.
Everyone's been theoretically able to vote since the 1960s. It's been fine.
Right.
Maybe one stolen election when Kennedy beat Nixon. Thank you, Chicago. But like, that's it. I think everyone knows this, but like the way every ballot has a QR code and it's assigned to a person, like their ballot, their registration, and like the amount of people that would have to be involved in stealing an election would be insane.
Right.
Yeah. And also, like, again, once again, why would the Democrats rig the election but forget to take the House? Yada, yada, yada. I have a one-vote majority in the Senate. None of it makes any sort of sense. Anyway, so I want to talk about this truly hilarious case. If this is all I know this isn't all they're doing, but all the stuff that's on the surface is purely fucking stupid, okay? So the mayor of Wausau, Wisconsin, named Doug Diney, last week, he was in a dispute with the county clerk over whether or not there should be ballot drop boxes for early voting, and he just stole it. He stole the fucking ballot box. He just took it and put it in his office. All right. He said the reason was the box was relocated to a safe indoor location until certain issues that the clerk is aware of are addressed. All right. He took a picture of himself doing it. Like, he put on a hard hat and made a big production of it, if you want to show this photo.
Right.
Here he is taking a photo of himself committing both state and federal crimes.
Yes. Right? And the hard hat is also hilarious because it's like, this is me going to work for the citizens of Wisconsin or whatever. Like, is that what it's supposed to be? But yeah, like, he thinks he's going to get, you know, lauded for this or whatever. And people are just like, you can't fucking do that. Like,
So the beef here, the context is, on July 5th, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is not controlled by Democrats, ruled that municipal clerks do, in fact, have the authority to establish secure drop boxes for absentee ballots in their district. Wausau clerk Caitlin Bernard made that decision, which Diney took exception to, because he ran for mayor opposing stuff like drop boxes for votes. Except it's not the mayor's purview, it's the clerk's purview, and I guess he just forgot to run for clerk, you stupid fuck. All right? I guess he realized he fucked up because hours later, in an interview with a local TV station, he backtracked on the move being related to policy and claimed he moved the ballot box because he was worried that it would be, quote, taken and thrown into the river.
Right. Yeah. Can't have that. Can't have people taking it and throwing it into the river where people might not be able to vote. So instead, I just took it and threw it into my closet.
Right.
Might not be able to, or won't be able to vote, you know. But hey, better than the river, at least. Somebody's got to watch out for this thing.
Yeah. So then, update from yesterday: Wausau ballot drop box returned outside City Hall after a week-long standoff between the mayor and the clerk. The DA did open a criminal investigation, and the drop box is now bolted to the ground so you can't steal it again. But I want to watch this video of him if we can, Laura, because his even Midwestern evil is kind of nice and charming. I want to watch this guy talk about trying to overthrow the votes of his constituents.
When did it get back to the control of the clerk?
I would say sometime over the weekend, the maintenance bay took control of it.
Did they come to your office and take it away?
I coordinated with the maintenance person. We got it done.
Okay, so you...
So it goes over like this for like 5 minutes. where he's like, the reporter, I love local news, man. He's asking all these hard-hitting questions about the conversations he had with the janitor about whether and when to move the ballot box back outside or whether or not he physically did it or the janitor physically did it, because we got to get to the bottom of this. Oh, shit. The last one of these, on a day when the state was hit with some of the hardest flooding in recent history, the Republicans of North Carolina chose to focus on blocking access for students on UNC's campus to use their digital student IDs as valid voter IDs. So while Hurricane Helene was bearing down on North Carolina to drown the western half of the state, what they're worried about is a couple college kids voting with their student IDs. Because a good way to throw an election would be to register for college, pay $30,000 a year in tuition, and then vote for Kamala Harris in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Right. Yeah, that's the type of, it's always like, what is there, the dude stealing the, I mean, you can tell by the excuse he came up with, but it's like taking a ballot box away where that allows people to vote, you know, not in person or whatever, or absentee voting or early voting. What could possibly be the justification for doing that? And the best thing he'd come up with is, well, I thought somebody might throw it into the river, you know? And it's like, there is no, and it's like with these, it's like, what is the justification for not allowing college students there to vote? Mm-hmm. You know, they're of age, they're American citizens. They're what are you railing against? What are you protecting from happening? And there's literally nothing you can come up with. They're just like, no, yeah, there must be order, I guess, or whatever. Or they'll be like, no, people will fake things. The Democrats will steal the election because they'll fake. But like you said, the sheer number of the amount of fraud you'd have to undertake, like to successfully sway an election through these means, is just not practical. Like
you'd also have to risk an almost definite 10 years in federal prison for helping Kamala Harris get a job, which I'm not going to do. Right.
Right.
So there's that part of it too. Yeah, it's all. I mean, there is a cogent case for being against early voting and enabling a ton of early voting. That is, like, the election is supposed to be a one day snapshot of public opinion, and like, in theory, something could come out about Kamala Harris next week that would cause her to lose support, and somebody might regret voting early, I guess, or they might have like voted what they their opinion in early October might be the same as November 5th. But like, I don't think that's the world in which we live. And if you are a swing voter, please wait till Tuesday, November 5th or whatever. Like, it's fine. But like, the rest of us know what we're going to vote for. So it's fine. Yeah.
Yes. All right. I agree. All right. Well, let's get into the fun stuff, right?
Yeah. The second apocalypse of the show. So I remember a while back, we were talking about Davos and how the hot new word was polycrisis among the globetrotting elites. It's a good word. It's about when a bunch of things are going wrong at the same time. They're contributing to each other. Mm-hmm. So here, like, we have climate disasters are fully fucking here. They're not a future hypothetical anymore. We never got our infrastructure ready. So it's just sitting there being old and decrepit. Local news is completely decimated, so you can't even go look at a newspaper or get online to find out how fucked you are. And over two major political parties, one party is trying to actively dismantle everything that could fix any of this, and the other party has had like half split between people who want to fix it most of the time and other people who the rest of the time are just like compromising and managing the dismantling more effectively, right? And it doesn't feel like we have a political will to fix any of this shit because we're just in such denial about it. I just find the whole thing depressing as fuck.
Yeah. Disheartening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't there some movement in Biden's tenure for infrastructure, right? There was a big infrastructure bill.
Right. It's not that people aren't trying to do the right thing. It's just like we should have done this in 1986.
Right. For sure.
It's just like we're so far behind the eight ball, and it's like I remember reading this piece 20 years ago about one of the defining personality traits that's really destructive in America is we're cheerleaders by nature. Like, we're overly optimistic by nature. We generally assume everything's going to work out in our favor. And I'm guilty of it too. My hope for climate change is that we just invent our way out of it. We just figure it out.
Right.
But we're not figuring it out. We're not looking reality clear in the face enough with this shit. And it's not that it's too late to do anything. It's just we're just going to keep doing the same shit, even though we know it's bad. All right. Mm-hmm. For those, in case you guys missed it, we're talking about is a hurricane named Helene. It was a Category 4 storm with 140 mile an hour winds, made landfall on Thursday. Basically cut a 500 mile journey across the southeast part of the United States, hitting Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia, leaving them with record storm surge, wind damage, and catastrophic flooding. According to the Associated Press, as of today, at least 133 people have died, with the largest concentration of fatalities recorded in the western regions of North Carolina. More than 600 people just from that region alone are reported missing. About 1.6 million people in the affected states still have no electricity, and affected cities in Georgia and North Carolina have shut off running water.
It's so weird because I know that like a lot of it, yeah, obviously it hit in Florida, but also I know Atlanta in particular was like bracing for this, you know, for this cataclysmic event and all this stuff. And like I would anecdotally, none of this really matters, but just anecdotally, I was last weekend I was in Bristol, Tennessee, and then Atlanta, Georgia on Friday and Saturday. And Friday I was flying from LA through Atlanta to Knoxville to drive to Bristol. And I, you know, Wednesday and Thursday, I was like, well, this isn't happening. Like these shows are not happening. Definitely. Obviously that's not going to happen, but I was, you know, but I'll wait and see what Delta says, whatever. And I flew into Atlanta, landed at like 1:00, and it's like gray and overcast, but the airport seems generally fine. Everything seems kind of fine. Then my flight from there to Knoxville took off without issue. We fly from Atlanta to Knoxville on Friday afternoon, landed Knoxville, drive from there to Bristol. And like halfway up that drive, by the time we got to Bristol, it's like sunny and there's clouds in the sky. Like the sun, I posted a picture of it. It was like idyllic and beautiful the day, but 20 minutes away from Bristol, there was a hospital underwater, and people kept sending me all these pictures and posts and stuff of everything that was going on. And it was just so surreal to me because I was like, I'm here. I feel like I'm here and I don't see. But it's just how crazy fucking weather is and how it can work, you know, and the way that it operates. But it was a wild time to be there because it was like some places got hit so hard by it, and some places just got like relatively spared, you know. And I guess that happens all the time with tornadoes and all kinds of big weather events. That's kind of the nature of the beast. But it was just,
what happened to me was God protected you,
right? So yes, exactly. Yes, God, like, yeah, so right.
My understanding is it shifted east at the last moment, like schools were closed in anticipation of it where my family is in Central Virginia, but then all they got was a drizzle. But then Eastern Tennessee got hit real hard. Talking about some places are spared. I read an interview with a guy in Asheville who's like, yeah, my street's fine, but like over a block, everything's wiped out because it's just lower elevation or whatever. So, but the hospital you're talking about, the hospital rescue was in East Tennessee, is in Unicoi County Hospital in Irwin, Tennessee.
Yeah.
It's about 20 minutes south of Johnson City. That's where my granny's family's from. Population about 6,000 people. If it's known for anything, they once hanged an elephant back in, I think, 1906. They executed an elephant.
Very famously, if you're from Tennessee, very famously, Irwin hanged an elephant,
Which props to them for figuring out how to hang a 6,000-pound
animal. Well, I believe they used a crane. I believe that's what they did. Also, we talked about this on Putting on Airs once, me and Corey. There was a long and storied tradition of people executing animals for human crimes. Did you know that? Like, they put them on trial, too. Like, they gave – they had lawyers. Animals had like, pigs had lawyers. They were put on trial for, like – you know, killing a peasant child or something, and they'd be like found guilty and executed, hanged or guillotined or whatever. Or sometimes there've been animals that were excommunicated from the church for their sins or whatever. Like, they used to do shit like that all the time. I'm only saying that just so people know it wasn't just fucking Irwin or East Tennessee that was on some bullshit when it came to executing an animal for, like, obviously that wasn't cool.
Your beloved Tennessee is not the only stupid place.
That's right. We used to do that.
Okay, gotcha.
People used to do that. Anyway. Go ahead.
Yeah, so 50 people were stuck on the... Think about how high the roof of a hospital is, and the water was almost up the top of it, and they couldn't get a helicopter to them for, like, hours because the wind was so bad, obviously. So people just stuck on this rooftop in the wind and the rain, not knowing if anybody was gonna come get them. And I was just thinking about that, just because of my personal connection to it. I know that's how a lot of us process stuff. And, like, because there are 50 people up there, only 6,000 people in the town, and my granny's family's from there. I'm like, I kept thinking, like, I probably got like a third cousin up there fucking stuck, and I know I'm going to live for another hour. It's fucking stupid nut shit. And while we're all in denial about climate change, a couple, like, things that happened within this. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's National Climatic Data Center is located in Asheville, which is probably the hardest hit city in this flooding. They maintain the world's largest climate data archive. And now, due to a historic climate disaster, it's currently offline. One of the reasons you would hide the climate data in Asheville is because Asheville, previous to this, had been considered a climate haven. it was supposed to be one of the areas that's going to be least hit by climate change because it's high elevation, it's not in Tornado Alley, it's far away from the coast, and it's got a moderate climate.
Right.
And now it's under fucking water, all right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, we all understand there's rivers and creeks and waterways there that can overflow when flooding happens, and that's what happens here. But it's just the fact that it's just so far away from the still a hurricane doing mm-hmm. this to the Appalachian Mountains. It's not that nobody gets like how that happened. It's just that it's wild mm-hmm. considering the nature of both a hurricane and the Appalachian Mountains. And it's the type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like you were saying earlier, it's like, it's not hypotheticals anymore. Like this crazy shit, it's here now. It's happening mm-hmm. now. And it's going to keep happening. Like clear. It's not good. This isn't like a one-off, like this type of shit's going to keep happening. Mm-hmm. And people are going to keep burying their heads in the sand about it and pointing fingers at each other politically and that type of thing. And nothing's mm-hmm. going to fucking change probably, which is upsetting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not Communist Party of China's ideas guy, but if you guys wanted to invade, now's probably a pretty perfect time because we can come on the same page about anything in this fucking country. Like if China invaded California, 30% of Americans would think they were coming to rescue American citizens from Joe Biden's woke trans agenda or whatever. So another climate aspect of this is the tiny town of Spruce Pine, North Carolina, which is near Appalachia, is home to the United States' largest deposit of quartz, which is an essential mineral for semiconductors and solar panels. And, yeah. They got bludgeoned. So another side effect of this is going to slower transition to like solar panels and getting better and more energy efficient semiconductors. So my thing is with all this, like, where happened to the people who thought hurricanes were a message from God? Because this feels, if he's real, this is a pretty fucking clear signal that we fucked up and we should hurry up and get back in his good graces by not destroying nature.
Corey told me earlier that he saw people, obviously lunatics, he's pointing out that these people are lunatics, but he saw lunatics on the internet saying that this was, that some of the places where the damage was the worst correlated with like, with vaccine statistics and stuff. Like, you know, they used to blame hurricanes on gay people. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, Asheville has a high proportion of gay people, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, that's what God did. You're gay there. Here's a hurricane. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. Corey was saying now some of that shifted, that gay stuff still counts, but now it's also like getting the jab and things of that nature. So they still claim that God is sending these things as, you know, weapons of vengeance or whatever against mm-hmm. the sinful and whatnot. It's just that the specific sins are being the goalposts are being moved a little bit. I think
I'm not familiar with this data, but I'm just going to say it's probably bullshit that the hills of Appalachia are highly vaccinated relative to like New York or whatever. I'm just going to say that's probably not fucking true. Just because you forget politics. Let's talk about who has health insurance for a second. The thing that like really depressed me is I've never thought about this way before is like, we are just fully not part of the environment anymore. We're like, we're totally separate destructive force just hovering above it. Like what made me think of this is like floods are, you know, natural occurrences necessary for ecological succession. Like it's not like it's good when they happen, but they happen for natural reasons. Some things need to be washed away and replaced. It just sucks if one of those things is your farm. Right. I get that. Mm-hmm. But like, because of the way we live, we turn them all into toxic spills that forever poison the fucking land. So every hurricane makes things worse than they were before. We can't just build back because you see all that trash in the floodwater. It's not even close to the worst of it because it washes up sewage, pesticides, transmission fluid, antifreeze. All that stuff is just going in the water now.
Yeah. I've heard there's like horror stories of people who've lived through these types of things before. And I'm sure it'll happen with this incident too, where like, you have like a tiny scratch on your foot or something you don't even know was there, and you step into these floodwaters or whatever, just like ankle deep, and then pull your foot out of it. And then later your like leg gets amputated, or people even die from the infection and stuff, because the water, those waters in cases like these, those floodwaters are like highly toxic because of the shit that you're talking about. It's
bad news. And like, maybe we could do something like climate change, because if we framed it as like, it makes grocery prices go up, because that seems to be the only thing anybody fucking cares about anymore is inflation, right? So another thing to know about this is like, Helene, let me quote here, Helene just pummeled America's chicken farming capital. Almost half the more than 9 billion chickens farmed for meat in the U.S., known as broiler chickens, are raised and slaughtered in the region hit by Helene. An estimated 2.14 million to 5.56 million birds are likely to have died in the hurricane. So we're about to get a huge supply shock that's going to lead to chicken inflation, and we're going to blame it on Bidenomics, wokeness, or Kamala trying to make everyone eat soy or some shit.
That's what I was going to say. It'll still be, I mean, that'll just also be Joe Biden's fault. You know what I mean? Even when that happens, like, you know, that's what's going to happen. You know,
it's,
I mean,
not hell, to say, like,
Joe Biden's already getting blamed for plenty of shit where this,
right. And it's not that it's not, it's Joe Biden's fault in the sense that he's been in American politics for 50 years and he could have like organized a coalition in the Senate to try to pass climate change legislation in 1988 when Al Gore realized it was a fucking problem, right? That's the degree to which it's fault. But like, all this stuff is like, this is all of our faults. It's Joe Biden's fault to the degree it's all of our faults, right? Mm-hmm. Food's going to keep going up because of climate change, because it's going to get more expensive to grow and ship, right? Types of vegetables are going to go extinct. We already got like monoculture when it comes to bananas. Like, there's only one kind of banana anymore because the rest of them weren't profitable. So if that one can't survive, we're not going to have any more fucking bananas. Mm-hmm. It's I just don't think people understand what's coming. And it's like, it's probably comforting to not understand what's coming, but like, it's just like, we're so unprepared for it, man. Everybody learn how to grow your own food. My recommendation, figure out what Southern Hemisphere crops will grow in the soil around your house here in the United States. So in response to this, you get all the normal wig nut conspiracy theories. Like, people are complaining that the Weather Channel was talking about climate change. They were just trying to find out where the hurricane was going. People are saying that the weather machines are being used to target Trump voters. Cat Turd was telling his millions of followers that the hurricane was fake altogether. It was just trying to scare people into voting for Kamala because of climate change or something. Trump went on True Social and said that he believes the Democrats have been intentionally denying aid to Republican parts of the state, which is not fucking true. FEMA's a catastrophically underfunded agency because Republicans don't want to give it any money and Democrats don't want to spend a bunch of political capital on it. So it's just, it doesn't have enough money to go around, and they're talking about a really remote area. It's hard to get shit to, and it's just, it's a clusterfuck. It's a clusterfuck of our design. We made it this way. My favorite conspiracy theory was that the National Guard was, this is while the National Guard's on the ground distributing a bunch of aid to people. They said the National Guard was not responding because Kamala Harris had deployed them to the Middle East.
Right. Yeah. I typed this in just to make sure I wasn't talking out of my ass, but also you said Trump claimed on True Social that the government was denying aid to Republican parts or whatever. And, I thought I remembered that, Trump did that with California, right? With wildfires. Trump administration refuses to give California federal aid for wildfires. That was when he was when he was in office right before the last election in 2020. So,
He did it. It was laid down, way down lower in the outline, but he did it to North Carolina in 2017. He was asked for $929 million for North Carolina for hurricane aid, and he gave them $6.1 million, so about 99% less than they requested. So $6.1 million, I guess, just a little bit of walking around money for North Carolina to rebuild. I guess everybody in Durham can have a fucking pizza party or some shit. And he did that purely because the governor was a Democrat.
It's one of those things too, where like a lot of these states, I'm not blaming the people in the states, but a lot of the people that run a lot of these southern states like refuse federal money sometimes to the detriment of their own citizens because it's socialism or whatever. But obviously in this case, it's like, oh, we need help. And they do need help, but it's just the hypocrisy being on, you know, full display like that is particularly blatant in these scenarios. Or, I mean, it is if you're paying attention or give a shit. A lot of people don't. They don't care about that. Also, they get a completely different narrative from what they watch than what we're talking about. So that's a factor too. Like, I know we're going to talk like the stuff Trump has said. People see Trump say that and they're just like, well, that's true. That's fucked up. And when it comes to this hurricane and Joe Biden's response. And then even if it isn't true, it doesn't matter. They're never, those people are never going to find that out. You know, they're never going to know that it wasn't true. They're just going to hear him say it and be like, that's a goddamn shame Joe Biden did that. Even though it wasn't true, it doesn't matter.
This is like, I hate trying to graph culture war stuff on top of like this something that's like plainly material as like a hurricane response. Do you know what I'm saying? Like this is the stuff for the government.
Right.
On the front end, like the real disaster comes later once people try to figure out how to scam the system. I'm talking like when contractors get in there and disaster capitalism, land gets bought up on the cheap. People take contracts to rebuild stuff and then just leave behind polluted disasters behind them because no one's going to do anything to them. Like that's the bad part that comes later. But all that's bipartisan too. But on the front end, the stuff the government's good at is sending helicopters to get people off roofs and distributing bottled water to remote areas. It's like that stuff is like, as long as you fund FEMA, they can fucking do that shit. But like all we do is argue about the dumb bulls. Here's Jesse Waters on Fox News yesterday, and I think this might have been the thing that infuriated me the most.
What I recommend her doing is maybe you get a little paper towel like this, like he did in Puerto Rico. That's what the people want. Give what I recommend her doing.
People are fucking dying. People are fucking dying. Sorry.
I don't even really get what he is doing, even from his perspective there. Meaning, like, I feel like that's almost a thing that I would do to make fun of Trump for how he responded to things like this. Do you know what I mean? Like pointing out the disaster that was Trump's response to that in Puerto Rico when he did that. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like he seems aware of, I don't know. It's like he's presenting it like, oh, that was a slam dunk, him doing that, when that was a thing he was universally mocked for. Like, I don't even understand where Jesse Waters is like ostensibly coming from by making a remark like that, aside from how insensitive it is what I'm saying. I just don't even think it works.
Where he's coming from is none of this matters.
Right.
The world outside of your, if you can't see it right in front of you, if you're not feeling the pain yourself, it doesn't matter.
Right.
That's what Fox News fills their people's heads with all day, every day, is not to care about others. No, this is a TV show. This is America's most watched TV network doing bits about fucking 10-year-old fake controversies while people are literally drowning.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of a chicken and egg thing, because we were just talking about, maybe it was on the bonus cues, the Patreon episode, about how like it's been a long known thing, I feel like, for a lot of like far right American conservatives. It's like they don't care about things that don't impact them personally. There's so many famous examples of people that's like hated gay people until their kid came out, and it's like they're still not woke about it, but they, you know, they love their kid, whatever, so they soften a little bit and that type of thing. We were talking, Springfield, Ohio, and how I've been there and talked to these Republicans who are like, it's a real shame how this has all happened. And it's like, yeah, because it happened to you. If this happened to some town in Iowa, what would you be saying, you know, Republicans from Springfield? And we were like, we just need stuff to impact every one of them personally for them to start caring. But that's not statistically possible or numerically possible. So they're just like feeding right into that. Because, they don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a famous viral like Huffington Post article. The headline gets reposted all the time. I think about it all the time. This is from like the early on in the Trump era. And it just said, I don't know how to explain to you that you should care about other people, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, I think about that all the time, because that's...
But Appalachians are poor and Jesse Waters is rich.
Right.
So there you go. But that's another reason I fucking hate election years, is like everyone has to retreat into some defensive crouch about like arguing about like... It's like that every aspect of everything must be criticized or defended, right? And like, so I wish George W. Bush's response to Katrina had been good. I probably still wouldn't have voted for him, but I would have appreciated him more and thought of him less as a piece of shit human being who just like let a mostly black city fucking die. But like, I still would have been rooting for him to do a good job at it.
You know what I'm saying? Of course.
So like, I don't understand this knee-jerk thing to like retreat everything into partisan politics. Like, but like it is worth mentioning that like Trump was in office. So we already know he'd be worse on every aspect of this. It's not just like denying climate change, investing less in infrastructure, he wants to like basically disband FEMA. That's in Project 2025. But none of that means I have to pretend that Joe Biden's response has been perfect or whatever. And I'm open to, like, I haven't seen any sort of material other than FEMA's been systematically defunded by both parties and you can't get Republicans to agree to fund it. They just voted to, they barely voted to fund the government last week, I think, and didn't do disaster aid in it because Republicans were trying to defund the government entirely. And all the fucking congressmen crying the most about how their districts need aid just tried to shut down the government and then passed a budget with no aid for disasters.
Right.
So they're going to be called back into session probably to vote to see if, and they're going to have to decide whether they want to own Joe Biden and hope that their voters blame him or let their own constituents, let them and their towns die without aid. Right. And I think it's 50-50, honestly.
Oh yeah, for sure. At best, man. They'll just, I mean, they'll do the one thing and then act like they didn't later. You know, they'll vote against the relief funding or whatever, and then later bitch about how they didn't get any or the Democrats didn't do enough or whatnot, even though they voted against it. They do that type of shit. Or vice versa, when the Democrats do something good that helps their constituents, they'll like brag about it and take credit for it, even though they voted against that too. You know, I mean, they're just completely shameless.
Yeah. But in case you're wondering, like, all the governors say they have everything they need from the federal government. That includes DeSantis. I'm quoting here exactly. We have everything we need. Brian Kemp in Georgia. Roy Cooper in North Carolina. Of course, he's a Democrat, so maybe you don't want to trust him if you're any MAGA people are watching for whatever reason. But Roy Cooper announced that I-40 East into Asheville has reopened, and I-40 West was supposed to reopen today. 1,100 people are in shelters. 57,000 people have applied for FEMA assistance, and funds are starting to be distributed. The reason roads are important is because 100,000 people in Asheville may not have access to water for weeks, so we got to drive in water. And they're saying that people were saying, like, part of the problem was, like, there was no cell service and no one knew anything, right? So no one knew when help was coming or if help was coming. And they were saying they couldn't shelter in place because there was no electricity to boil water. Their kids needed fucking formula. Right. It's just like there's just a nightmare. And just like so just get being able to get the road back open and get drive in resources is a big first step. OK. Watched the interview with one of the Project 2025 authors earlier today who wanted to remind everyone that their plan is to cut federal disaster assistance for hurricane victims. The idea is to like have FEMA be more of a backstop for local authorities. Instead, and basically leave cities and towns and states to do it on their own. So instead of like the whole idea of a federal government is we pool resources for stuff that jurisdictions don't need, right, on a regular basis. His plan to his fan to streamline government is to have every Asheville, North Carolina buy a fleet of Black Hawk helicopters in case a once in a century flood hits.
Right. And it's like, and that's on the back end, right? So as far as Project 2025 goes, I mean, they also like, I think we talked about it before, even before this happened, they want to like privatize weather. Like they want to make it to where you, you know, people get alerts. They get told to evacuate. Hey, this shit's coming. This is dangerous. Get out of here, whatever. But in the future that they want, Project 2025 wants, you'd have to pay for a service to get those. You got to subscribe to Hope I Don't Die fucking weather app. And they'll send you an alert on your phone if you're up to date on paying your app bill or whatever. And if you're not, you just too bad. You don't even find out it's happening. And then, so they're fucking you on the front end and the back end. And then, you know, pointing fingers at Joe Biden saying that he's not handling this well enough or whatever else. Like,
subscribe for $25 a month to the fucking Ron app. Yeah. Right. That's what they want to do. By the way, today Trump gave a speech where he said no one could have predicted the hurricane, which happened at the peak of hurricane season. So there you go. Man, he's not checking the weather app, I can tell you that. I will say optically, but materially, I'm not sure what the Biden administration could have done differently, but optically, they fucking handled it disastrously. One, Kamala was at a fundraiser in California, which whatever, you got to do campaign shit. You don't have to announce that you raised $55 million while a hurricane was wiping out towns all over Appalachia. She did give a speech at FEMA headquarters on Monday, saying she plans to be on the ground as soon as possible when a photo op doesn't take away resources. Joe Biden spent the weekend in Delaware at his beach house and he was asked about it and he said, I was in charge. Just call it a fucking telephone. I'm like, okay, but optically you're laying at the beach and I'm not a big optics guy, but you understand how it looks like shit, right?
Right.
Like that you're laying on the beach while people are walking through neck deep water looking for baby formula. Like, just come back to Washington, dude, please. People were only way people in Asheville could get information if they had their phones had charge was to crowd around the library and hope to log on to the Wi-Fi network. And talk about a time when everything's being dismantled. There you go, as people crowd around trying to get on the Wi-Fi. What a time when libraries are being defunded, like it being a place where people come together in a disaster because it's their only access to the outside world feels like poignant and poetic to me. Right. And we should probably stop defunding fucking libraries. By the way, if the communication problem should be getting better soon because the Fed supposedly started delivering Starlinks today, which Trump took credit for somehow. I think he's trying to present it like he still runs FEMA. I found the lack of information here, like people were able to get, extremely depressing as somebody used to work in newspapers. Like, because a lot of the local news sites that have been bought out by private equity groups who, like, have fired everybody but, like, one reporter. Their front page had, like, automatically generated, like, stories about sports scores from national teams. I just want to say local news in the Southeast wasn't decimated by randomness any more than the hurricanes are fucking random anymore. It was a policy choice. We decided to let Google and Facebook steal $14 billion a year from local news. We did that. But instead of doing honest critiques about all the shit that's going wrong and what's fucked up in America, instead, Trump's in the right are just doing fake ones. Again, I said, let me quote here. I summarized this earlier, but reports I'm getting about the federal government, the Democratic governor of North Carolina, they're going out of their way to not help people in Republican areas. Trey mentioned this up top, but if you guys aren't familiar with Asheville, it's got a thriving like arts and music scene. It's votes hella blue.
Very.
And I got this stat here from LGBTQ Asheville, which is an advocacy group. So you can take the numbers for what they're worth. But the Asheville area has 83% more lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer identified people than the typical American city or town. All right.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I'm pulling this out of my ass. I'm just making this up. But I would imagine since like Joe Rogan and all the tech bros took over Austin, I would think that Asheville might be the preeminent liberal oasis in the American South now in terms of progressivism and whatever. They've surely got to be up there, I would think. But not, yeah. It ain't MAGA country at all. So obviously there's a lot of small towns in the area that are also hit real hard and need help too. But yeah, Asheville, not like that.
I just like, I saw somebody drowning, I wouldn't ask how they voted for pulling their water.
Of course.
It's insane that people think they can't do that. And here's how Trump's, again, I talked about how the governors say that everybody's doing the best they can, no matter their party affiliation, because it's amazing to me how like guys like DeSantis talk when they actually have to accomplish stuff versus when they're campaigning for stuff. Because when they're trying to win over the rubes, everything's a fucking fantastical nightmare. When they have to deal with the material reality of helping their state survive a hurricane, everything's very practical and sane. And here's Trump and then a mashup of people talking about, talking in reality.
Ideally with the governor, that governor needs to, he's been trying to get them and I'm sure they're going to come through, but he's been calling, the president hasn't been able to get him, but...
The president just called me yesterday afternoon, I missed him and called him right back, and he just said, hey, what do you need? And I told him, you know, we got what we need, we'll work through the federal process. He offered that if there's other things we need, just to call him directly, which I appreciate that.
All right, ideally that's Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia. I already mentioned about how Republicans in Congress refuse to fund anything. I know you want to get off in a second so you can go watch the debate, Trey. I just want to mention this real quick. According to the Daily Climate, FEMA's disaster relief fund is, quote, is in significant deficit, facing a $3 billion shortfall by February without additional funding. The head of Homeland Security himself began warning the government about FEMA's shortfall earlier this summer. The office is responding to roughly twice as many major disasters as they were 8 years ago.
Right.
Frustration has grown over the last several years as FEMA denies more requests because they don't meet the minimum threshold for disaster declaration. They appear to be raising their cutoff. They're having to face so many more disasters.
Right.
They're responding to fewer because they don't have the money to cover the real bad ones. And I'm here to say, while we're apparently engaged in a 40-front war, that maybe we should pivot the United States Marines to work for FEMA and just do disaster relief shit because we don't need all this fucking military stuff. We need to fund people, stuff to help people who are drowning in fucking Appalachia.
Yeah. So, tale as old as time. So many federal budgets, you know, they just stay roughly static, go up by a small percentage, whatever. And a lot of those things are kind of static. But with FEMA, when it just when it expands, maybe not literally exponentially, but it expands so much because of climate change, they have so much more to do. The fact that the budget doesn't reflect that leaves them in a very, very, very precarious position. But, you know, can't have the government spending more money. That's socialism, unless, of course, it's, you know, war related or military or defense budget. So I don't know. Maybe we'll figure out one of these days. But I believe it when I see it. But anyway, listen, we're going to let you guys go. Go watch the debate here. Hopefully Tim Walz dog walks J.D. Vance. That would hit for everybody, I think. We'll have a recap next week, I imagine, at least in part. Listen, before you go, go to TreyCrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour date. See me in Missouri this weekend. And then I'm in the Southwest after that and a whole bunch of other places in the very near future and into 2025. Go to TreyCrowder.com. Go to WeeklySkews.com/more or go on Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. Sign up on there, $5 a month. You get 2 full-length bonus episodes of this here show. Support the show in the process. Main thing is you keep watching on Skewsdies and we'll keep showing up and running our mouths. We surely do appreciate it. See you. Love you. Bye.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.